Hey there, welcome to Voices Unheard, a podcast that makes sure everyone's voice is heard, especially in clinical trials.
Baby, why don't you tell us about yourself?
I'm LaShawn Oh, and today we're going to talk about why it's super important to have all different kinds of people in research studies and how some needs aren't being met in clinical trials. I believe that the lack of diversity, equity, and inclusion affects most marginalized people in our communities. And why is that? Let's dive in.
Dr. Devin Taylor, thank you so much for joining us. And as we're moving on and talking about each other and where we come from and our backgrounds, I'd like you to introduce yourself to us.
Well, hello. My name is Devin Taylor. I am a epidemiologist that really loves to focus on health disparities in the Oakland community. Born and raised in Oakland, lived in Oakland all my life, and the beginning of my educational career, I started off at the University of California, Berkeley.
Oh, great. Now, epidemiologist. All right. So if you can explain a little bit why you chose to specialize in, is it epidemiology? Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of the old long tale story of being born in Oakland, seeing all the negative health disparities in my community and how it affected my community in a bad way. But more importantly, I learned throughout my life and in my personal living, some of the ways that it affected me personally. One big reason why it was important for me was my parents died of cancer. Both died of cancer. Okay. My father was a Vietnam vet. And so the assumption was he may have had the Agent Orange, which affected his breathing and his lungs. At that point, the doctors couldn't really diagnose why he died at such a young age in his late 50s. As well, my mother had asthmatic bronchitis, and she also died in her 50s. So obviously, for me, one of the big driving points for me was to identify personally, hey, will I have that trait of having cancer and dying early? So it was it was more selfish than anything when really I started to focus there. Another reason why I decided to go into research and epidemiology as a whole, it's just identifying some of the negative health outcomes that we have in our community based on, you know, sometimes it's the environment, other times it's just the surroundings and the upbringings that you have. My brother was murdered in 98 at the bottom of my hill. So again, those environments that you grow up in, it forces you to pose and ask questions, which is one of the foundational traits of research, right?
Yes,
to ask a question and try to find out through that question to try to solve or answer that question. In what ways can you do that? So that's kind of my motivating factors for doing so in a selfish realm.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah, for myself, you know, I've became an expert in oncology. I chose to do that in my career because, you know, it really affects our community. It affects, you know, I've seen a lot of people in my family pass away from cancer, and they get caught like in phase four, which is like at the end. It's not at the, you know, I've never really hear very little in our community that they're being caught soon so something can happen. And that's where I like to move into, like, I feel like there's an underrepresentation in research. And how do you feel about that? Or what is your take on that?
I definitely do. And that's why I say in a lot of cases, you have people of non-color, they get screenings more often, which makes a lot of the diagnoses caught a lot earlier, in earlier stages. Mm-hmm. Whereas we get a lot of people of color who get diagnosed in later stages and end up having more severe negative health outcomes. And so One of those reasons why is just having access to healthcare. I think that's one of the most wonderful elements of the Affordable Care Act is focusing on a lot of preventative services. I think from there, also having a lot more clinics to help support with screenings and having those clinics embedded in the community, especially in the high school settings and some junior high school settings where they have community schools where there are health clinics there. And they partner with organizations like Highland or UCSF or Children's Hospital to help get early screening and early detection of different health issues and problems. And so that's what's important is making sure to get those screenings early on to do so.
Right. And so, right. Delayed detection is a severe disparities in our community. And I am bringing that up. And what I really appreciate is that you're also offering some solution as to how we can bridge that gap in the disparities. Getting proper detection for anything, diabetes, Black women are suffering with fibroids, oncology, cancer, different various stages of cancer. So getting that early detection is crucial to our community and to our families.
Absolutely.
Now, bringing with that, where say delayed detection is that would cause, I believe, some of the distrust in our communities and representation of that distrust. I can say the 40 years we had the syphilis,
Experiment,
Tuskegee
experiment.
syphilis clinical trial that they weren't, beknownst to them, they weren't really given the proper treatment, and that lasted for 40 years. So, with that in mind, can you speak on the trust and representation in our community and how you feel, what's
But
going on?
yeah, well, this is an issue. It's not just, it didn't just start with the Tuskegee air experiment, right? It was, I mean, there's so, in different cultures, you have different stories and, folk tales about how people were used as guinea pigs or lab experiments in order to identify if certain medicine worked or didn't work. So this is like not something that is an anomaly when we talk about the Tuskegee Air Experiment. The bigger issue is the distrust in the community currently. And I think one of the big issues that we had now and kind of the battle was with the new vaccine that we had with COVID. So not only did we have that generation, like that elder generation that identified with the Tuskegee Airmen experience, but it kind of trickled down through storytelling to all of, their kids and grandkids, and that story kind of stuck with us. So we look at that, and it's the distrust with all of the other things in society that has not gone our way, even though it was supposed to. So that distrust is not just rooted in medicine. It's in all walks of life.
And
Whether
COVID was a, I'm, excuse me, I was interrupting. I was just, when you said COVID-19, that was a worldwide clinical trial. That was not basically, that was not just for our community. That was with everybody. So please go ahead. I just wanted to
So
say
yeah,
that.
so that distrust, it's not even like, oh, it's just one particular group that's distrusting the government, especially when the umbrella of the government is under it. But, other factors, when we talk about our food and what's embedded in our foods and, what are they using to help create the food that we're having. The other distrust comes with our government, with the police department, right? And how you with George Floyd and these other issues that come about with police brutality, the distrust of police with goes all the way back to Rodney King, right? So distrust, I don't think really is directly focused with medicine. I think it's just kind of grandfathered in or parlayed into the story of distrusting the government and looking for them to support in the overall health of our communities.
Right. So this podcast is basically, you know, the awareness of clinical trials and how it can possibly help, or there is alternate solutions, and just giving our communities, you know, awareness that can participate in a particular clinical trial, because now they have the regulations, there's informed consent, there's a lot of things. But still, even though we say these things are in place, there's other things, as you just said, is really affecting the mistrust for anything for us to get involved in. Would you agree, or how do you
absolutely
feel about that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And some facets, some solutions to that, and I'm not saying that they're all the best solution, but we have places and research to help support having the community involved in making decisions and identifying what's best for the community. Just like we use CBPR, community-based participatory research, right? It's identifying and using the ideas and the support of the community to help come up with solutions instead of researchers and organizations helicoptering in and then saying, this is my solution for you. Mm-hmm. And you use this solution in order to fix it. But then you come to the community members and they say, hey, that's not going to work for me. Okay. I don't even function that way. So in order to get that support, you have to look at what is best for the community first and not coming in telling the community, this is what's best for you. Another great connection to use is our youth. We don't take advantage of the intelligence and the savviness of our youth. Mm-hmm. We use now in a lot of our research, YPAR, which is Youth Participatory Action Research, which gives a lot of these young minds the ability to come up to create these solutions, because they are going to be the future in identifying what's best going forward when we're not there. And so understanding using those two tools, our community as well as our youth, in order to help support our research, I think is important to be represented in order for us to have a viable and sustainable process in helping find solutions to our problems in America.
Absolutely. Thank you. And so we're getting ready to wrap this up, and I really appreciate you, but I have one more question. And that question is, who is it that you wish you could reach through this podcast or anywhere about research and what we can do? I believe you've already stated our youth. Is that it? Or is there anyone else that you believe?
I would love to start at the local level, the community level, and reach our community representatives, which is our city council members, or, you know, our mayors, to really look at what can we do in order to better serve our communities. I mean, we have so many issues that we have to tackle, from obesity, climate change, pollution, cancer, all of these. There's a myriad of things that we need to address, but there needs to be some viable and reliable channel to be able to interact back and forth with our policymakers. Because yes, at the community level, at the grassroots level, we can organize and try to make change, but we also got to know it has to be coupled with our policies, because our policies are what keeps everything together in creating change in our community. And so I'm hoping there is a huge bridge that could be merged together, where we're able to have a candid dialogue with our city and community representatives, so we can let them know as a community what we need in order to make our communities better, and vice versa.
Thank you. And so I, just listening to that, It seems like your one takeaway, and I don't want to put anything in your mouth, but is from what I am understanding and interpreting, is that the one takeaway is to better review and understand the policies so we can be more effective in changing those policies.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
LaShawn O. LaShawn O.
And I always buy slow when I'm straddling. But you gotta pay.
I like a woman with a future and a past. I like a woman with a future and a past.
Come join us as we explore why diversity, equity, and inclusion are so important in clinical trials. We'll talk about how these ideas are connected to everything in life and how your own experiences and ideals fit perfectly with our own goal of understanding people better. Let's dive in and learn together.